$1,000. That's the average amount of money people in the U.S. are now spending on gas in a year. $5,000. That's crazy. If you drive, you have to download Upside, the free app that gives you cash back every time you get gas. That's right. You can earn real cash back with Upside just by buying the gas you're already buying. You can literally start earning cash back today.
I use Upside every time I fill up, and I've already made around $200-$300.
You're putting gas in your car anyway. Why not get real cash back? If you like free money, download Upside.
I'm saving the cash I earn from using Upside to help pay for a vacation later this year.
Download the free Upside app now to earn cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code OWN to get an extra 25 cents per gallon on your first tank. You can cash out anytime right to your bank, PayPal, or a gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code OWN for a 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code OWN for a 25 cents per gallon bonus.
Chlorophyll drops to optimize energy, beauty tonics to detoxify, vitamin gummies to de-bloat and cut water weight. The list goes on and on. If you've scrolled through Instagram or TikTok lately, it seems like every week there's a new viral product or trend that everyone's buying into. But behind the branding and buzzwords lies a murkier reality, one where there's little government regulation, fact-checking, and profit is the number one priority.
There's so much money attached to this. You know, it's very hard to see who the bad actors are. And so I think you have to be able to look for certain words like natural, detox, biohack. These are terms that are loosely used and they're completely unregulated. And it's very hard to be able to sort of trace the claims of a lot of these products.
That's Haley Krischer, a journalist and the author of the book, You Belong to Me. She highlights the example of a well-known celebrity wellness company that's made tens of millions of dollars in revenue.
In You Belong to Me, I based it on a specific wellness, a celebrity wellness brand that rhymes with the word poop. But in 2018, there was a huge New York Times article written about this company, and they had reported that, you know, the owner of this company, this celebrity, was supposed to get a huge deal with Vogue magazine, and they were going to have their own magazine put out. But the celebrity company, this celebrity wellness company, said, well, we have one issue, is that we don't want any of our stuff fact-checked. And Vogue said, well, that's not something we could do because that's a deal breaker for us. So, I mean, you have these wellness companies and you have people who are saying, well, we're not interested in fact-checking these products because they don't have to.
Over the years, Krischer has seen firsthand how the rise of the internet and social media has led to countless new wellness products, treatments, and experiences.
The wellness industry is a $6.3 trillion industry, and it's supposed to hit $9 trillion by 2028. So I think with knowing all of this and sort of seeing the very beginning of where the industry came from, where, you know, people really felt like they wanted to use wellness products because they needed help. They wanted to feel better. And I think we all feel that way. I think that that's where I sort of, you know, had my big jumping off point, that I've always been sort of fascinated by this entire world and the monetization of this world.
And the influence is real, especially on young people. A 2023 report from Common Sense Media found that 75% of teens follow at least one influencer, and a growing number trust influencer marketing more than traditional ads. Combine that with hyper-targeted algorithms, and it's hard to shy away from products that claim to have everything you need.
In the book Careless People, which is the memoir about Facebook by Sarah Wynne Williams, she writes about how Facebook detected when teen girls deleted selfies so it could serve them beauty ads. So, I mean, you know, and that's not just teen girls. I mean, this is happening to women as well and men. Like, this isn't happening organically. You know, these social media companies are manipulating kids and us in ways that far differ from television commercials or magazine ads. You know, we have access to our faces all day long with our phones. And so we have access to social media targeting all day long. And so we are just bombarded by these images and by, you know, these images of ourselves. And what we need to be able to do to make ourselves, quote unquote, feel better or look better.
And it's all too easy to fall into this cycle. Buy a serum from a clean beauty brand endorsed by your favorite creator? Easy. Click an Amazon link for an energy-boosting supplement in the middle of the night. It's already on your doorstep by morning. Krischer says that these tactics aren't going anywhere, so it's unfortunately up to the consumer to question the product and do their research.
With my daughter, you know, I've really spoken to her about how influencers get paid, how they are, you know, taking multiple, you know, hundreds upon hundreds, sometimes thousands of pictures of themselves or videos before they actually put it online. There are ways for people to use sort of these, like, you know, photoshopping apps that manipulate their images. I hate to say that you have to be wary of everything that you see online, but you actually do. And it's sad because we, you know, look, beauty stores like Sephora and Ulta, they're seeing huge surges in young customers. And, you know, it's because they are constantly being bombarded by these images on social media.
And yet, not all wellness is a scam. Some practices offer real comfort, even if they're not scientifically proven. When it comes to this space, it's about knowing what actually works and benefits you in the long term. Krischer shares how she pays for Reiki appointments, a form of no-touch healing.
If there have been studies on Reiki, I think that many of them have shown that it's not exactly something that can be proven that it works. But for me personally, I find it to be extremely calming. I find it to be extremely helpful, and I feel better after I'm doing it. I feel more grounded. I feel more connected to myself. I feel less anxiety.
Krischer believes that wellness itself is not a scam. The desire to feel better is inherently human. What's a scam is the predatory marketing and the selling of a fantasy. And we all have to get better at asking, is this real or is it just something shiny? To learn more about the wellness industry and our guest, Haley Krischer, head to viewpointsradio.org. Check out her new book, You Belong to Me, now available online and in bookstores. The story was written by our executive producer, Amira Zaveri. Our studio manager is Jason Dickey. I'm Gary Price. This segment is sponsored by Capital One. Banking with Capital One helps you keep more money in your wallet with no fees or minimums on checking accounts and no overdraft fees. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com/bank for details. Capital One N.A., member FDIC.
Coming up, do you know how private equity firms work? We break down this loaded term when Viewpoints returns.
KFC presents a story about the pursuit of flavor. When one executive told Colonel Sanders four Phillips boxes was too many, the Colonel decided he had one too many executives. Enjoy four KFC Phillips with original recipe fried chicken, creamy mashed potatoes, pie poppers, and a refreshing drink for $7 each. The Colonel lived, so we could chicken. KFC Phillips, just $7 each.
Prices and participation vary while supplies last. Taxes, tips, and fees extra.
Macy's has summer deals so big, it's like Black Friday in July. Come in for unbeatable summer savings, like dazzling fine jewelry, now 40 to 75% off. And airy linen blazers from Tommy Hilfiger and more for over half off. Plus, get three-piece floral print comforter sets for just $21.99. These deals are too big to wait for November, so hurry in. Black Friday in July and Sunday at Macy's. Savings off already reduced prices. Exclusions apply.
$5,000. That's the average amount of money people in the U.S. are now spending on gas in a year. $5,000. That's crazy. If you drive, you have to download Upside, the free app that gives you cash back every time you get gas. That's right. You can earn real cash back with Upside just by buying the gas you're already buying. You can literally start earning cash back today.
I use Upside every time I fill up, and I've already made around $200, $300.
You're putting gas in your car anyway. Why not get real cash back? cashback. If you like free money, download Upside.
I'm saving the cash I earn from using Upside to help pay for a vacation later this year.
Download the free Upside app now to earn cashback every time you buy gas. Use promo code OWN to get an extra 25 cents per gallon on your first tank. You can cash out anytime right to your bank, PayPal, or a gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code OWN for a 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code OWN for a 25 cents per gallon bonus.
We hear a lot about private equity these days, but it can feel like a far-off financial concept that doesn't matter if you're not in the business world. However, the reality is that this industry is reshaping many of the places we know. For instance, earlier this month, shareholders of the pharmacy chain Walgreens approved a $10 billion acquisition by private equity firm Sycamore. This will turn the brand into a private entity and is likely to bring several changes to its operations and strategy in the coming months. From big-name companies to the ownership of major hospital systems and media outlets, private equity firms are slowly buying up greater control of critical sectors. And these deals aren't just boardroom headlines. They can affect everything from your prescription and childcare costs to the quality of your healthcare. Depending on your industry, it can also change how secure you feel in your job.
Private equity is huge in preschools now, huge in nursing homes, dentists, veterinarians, even public utilities. So toll roads, ambulances, they will often be the management firm for like electrical utilities, water companies, things like that. Once you start looking, you start to notice private equity everywhere, but unless you're specifically looking for it, you would have no reason to know.
That's Megan Greenwall, author of Bad Company, Private Equity, and the Death of the American Dream. Greenwall says it's important to understand how private equity firms typically run. She uses the example of a kid's lemonade stand to simplify the process.
They're pooling together money from various kinds of investors and combining it with bank loans to acquire a company. So if I am acquiring your lemonade stand, I am not using my own money to do it. I am using 70 to 80% of the money I use to buy your lemonade stand will be borrowed. And the rub is, even though I, as the private equity executive, am the one making the decision to borrow that money, only you, as the owner of the lemonade stand, are legally responsible for paying that money back. So I can buy your lemonade stand, load you down with debt. All of a sudden, you have no money left to buy lemons and sugar. And I don't have to, if you start going bankrupt, I don't have to pay any of that money back at all.
At the end of the day, the goal of a private equity firm is to help a company, but it's also to make a profit by ultimately reselling the purchased entity for a higher cost. And this can be a gamble. If the firm fails to make a profit and the brand continues losing money, the original owners may not be able to pay back the loan and the business is forced to shut its doors. In this case, workers are laid off, the company can't pay back the loan, and all assets are liquidated in order to try and partially pay back the bank. You might be wondering, how is it legal that a firm uses a loan to buy a company, but if things go south, they don't take on the debt, but make it so that the original owners are held liable?
It's legal because nobody has ever regulated it. There have been efforts to regulate this legally. Elizabeth Warren has proposed several times what she calls the Stop Wall Street Looting Act, which would take many steps against private equity, but one of the most fundamental would be requiring private equity firms to share in the responsibility for the debt they take out.
However, Greenwall says that 88% of congressional members on both sides of the aisle receive private equity donations through lobbying tactics. So there's not a lot of momentum in Washington, D.C. to regulate this industry. In addition, these firms also benefit from government tax breaks through certain loopholes. One such loophole is the role that private equity plays in managing millions of Americans' pension funds.
Pension funds are a huge source of capital for private equity firms, and public pension funds fund the retirement of doctors, teachers, nurses, public employees, usually on the state level. So the biggest public pension fund in the country is the California Public Employees Retirement System. And so private equity will say, yes, of course we benefit regular citizens because all of these teachers, nurses, firefighters are able to retire based on our money. That is true. I don't fully buy the argument that it has to be that way. I think one real problem with the private equity system is that logic turns capitalism into this sort of zero-sum game where in order for this group of workers, the firefighters, teachers, nurses, to win, this other group of citizens has to lose out.
One company that lost out in this process was Toys R Us. The once profitable national toy store chain went bankrupt after it was bought by Bain Capital in 2005.
33,000 workers were laid off without the severance they were promised in their contracts. And yes, that did ultimately benefit the teachers and firefighters and nurses whose pension funds were invested because the private equity firms made money off of that Toys R Us deal, even though the company literally went under. That's how favorable the laws are to private equity. But I think we're in dangerous ground if we're arguing that the only way to allow these people to get their retirement is to essentially screw over those 33,000 Toys R Us workers.
While private equity has earned a reputation for malicious business practices, it's important to note that not all such deals end in failure or bankruptcy. Richard Coffin is a registered portfolio manager in Canada and is also the host of the popular YouTube series, The Plain Bagel. In his videos, he covers several topics from investing to personal finance. He says there are many players in this space, and to lump them all together isn't fair.
Hilton Hotels is one that's been highlighted before as a company that was more or less turned around with private equity. So there are circumstances where you've seen companies emerge out better for it as a result of private equity. That's not to say there's not attrition along the way. There are often layoffs. It tends to be one of the favorite tools of private equity companies is to first lay people off and try to save money that way. But if a company is facing sort of its demise and decline otherwise, there are circumstances where companies have been pulled out of that with private equity's involvement.
For example, in real estate, Coffin says there's a lot of misinformation as to just how much real estate, including single-family homes, private equity is buying up.
There are rumors that 40% of homes were bought by private equity in 2024, and that large companies like Vanguard, State Street, and BlackRock are set to own 60% of U.S. homes by 2030. You know, these are pretty ridiculous claims that really just aren't backed. Currently, the stats are that the industry as a whole, so investment companies, mega corporations, own less than 1% of current single-family residences. I believe the estimate last time I checked was around 0.3 or 0.4%. And that their buying activity, so again, this is mega corporations with 1,000 properties or more, accounts for 9% of investor activity, or on a total basis, 2.3% of total buying activity. So that's not nothing. You know, 2.3% of the US market is still a sizable amount, but you can see it's not sort of the main demand driving factor. And there are other things that need to be considered.
Coffin does agree that private equity needs to be better regulated to limit the number of risky and unethical tactics, especially as these firms now hold a growing stake in American industries. Zooming out, Greenwald says that 8% of the U.S. workforce is currently employed by one of these firms. If you're curious, you can always Google and ask, is this hospital or corporation or apartment complex owned by private equity? And that question, who owns the companies we rely on, is one that more people may need to start asking, because in today's economy, ownership isn't just about profits. It's about power. Megan Greenwald's Bad Company, Private Equity and the Death of the American Dream is available now online and can be requested through your local bookstore. To find out more about our guests this week, visit viewpointsradio.org. This segment was written and produced by Polly Hansen and Amira Zaveri. Our studio manager is Jason Dickey. I'm Marty Peterson.
Viewpoints returns in just a moment.
5,000 dollars. That's the average amount of money people in the U.S. are now spending on gas in a year. $5,000. That's crazy. If you drive, you have to download Upside, the free app that gives you cash back every time you get gas. That's right. You can earn real cash back with Upside just by buying the gas you're already buying. You can literally start earning cash back today.
I use Upside every time I fill up, and I've already made around $200-$300.
You're putting gas in your car anyway. Why not get real cash back? If you like free money, download Upside.
I'm saving the cash I earn from using Upside to help pay for a vacation later this year.
Download the free Upside app now to earn cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code OWN to get an extra 25 cents per gallon on your first tank. You can cash out anytime right to your bank, PayPal, or a gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code OWN for a 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code OWN for a 25 cents per gallon bonus.
This is Viewpoints Explained. I'm Ebony McMorris. For much of the 20th century, governments around the world were worried about people having too many kids. Now countries are grappling with the opposite issue. In the U.S. and other developed nations, birth rates are falling fast. Last year, the U.S. hit a record low fertility rate of 1.6 children per woman on average. Go back to 2007, and this same statistical measure was 2.1 children per woman, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. For context, researchers estimate that an average of 2.1 children is what's needed to keep the American population stable without immigration. Head over to South Korea and the fertility rate has plunged to just 0.7%, and many other countries are showing the same decline. So what's behind the numbers? Economists say it's a mix of rising living costs. Everything from housing to education to basics like food and utilities are getting more expensive. Young people are also waiting longer to get married, and there is a growing level of uncertainty about the future with climate change and growing global tension. Another big driver? More men and women are prioritizing their careers, education, and the freedom that comes with not having children. At the end of the day, deciding whether or not to have kids is a deeply personal decision. But when millions start making the same choice, it adds up. As populations age and shrink, there'll be fewer workers to fund programs like Social Security. Innovation could slow, and entire industries may have to scale back. Some governments have started offering financial incentives to boost birth rates. Countries like Sweden, France, and China are testing new policies like bigger tax breaks and baby bonuses. But so far, no country has figured out how to reverse the trend in a lasting way. Lower birth rates aren't necessarily good or bad, but it does pose new questions. How will current systems adapt to a world where fewer people are entering each generation? That's Viewpoints Explained for this week. More in a moment.
Welcome to Culture Crash, where we examine what's new and old in entertainment. In 2013, Warner Brothers reset their DC Comics film universe with a Superman movie from director Zack Snyder called Man of Steel. Chasing the high highs of Christopher Nolan's The Dark Knight Batman trilogy, Man of Steel opted for a dark and gritty tone, and it never really worked. The Superman of Man of Steel was almost unrecognizable from the ultra-heroic Superman of the comics. In Man of Steel, Henry Cavill's Superman and his nemesis Zod fight their way through a bustling city, causing unspeakable damage and killing bystanders in the process, before Superman killed Zod with his bare hands. This characterization largely didn't work for general audiences, and Snyder's DCEU sputtered along until it was finally canceled for good 10 years later. Now, DC has chosen to reboot their universe again, this time with James Gunn at the helm, and I'm thrilled to report that this Superman, played by David Cornsweet, is the real deal. He's compassionate and caring, doing everything he can to save as many lives as possible, including a moment where he goes out of his way to even save a squirrel. The new Lois Lane, played by Rachel Brosnahan, is also perfectly characterized as a determined reporter And even more importantly, as a fully realized character with her own thoughts, emotions, and character arc. The new Superman movie brings audiences into a DC universe that's already underway, with other superheroes already existing. And what that means is that audiences get wonderful scene-stealing performances from Eddie Gathegi, Nathan Fillion, and Millie Alcock as Mr. Terrific, Green Lantern Guy Gardner, and Supergirl, respectively. With a tight, almost exactly 2-hour-long script, Gunn manages to make a fulfilling superhero movie that crucially doesn't drag on like so many recent superhero flicks have seemed to. Sure, the movie gets a little zany here and there, and I'm not saying it's perfect, but when the credits started to roll, I actually felt like I wanted more. More of Cornsweet's Clark Kent, more of Brosnahan's Lois Lane, and more of the movie's overall hope, joy, and optimism. Superman is in theaters now. I'm Evan Rook.
$5,000. That's the average amount of money people in the U.S. are now spending on gas in a year. $5,000. That's crazy. If you drive, you have to download Upside, the free app that gives you cash back every time you get gas. That's right. You can earn real cash back with Upside just by buying the gas you're already buying. You can literally start earning cash back today.
I use Upside every time I fill up, and I've already made around $200-$300.
You're putting gas in your car anyway. Why not get real cash back? If you like free money, download Upside.
I'm saving the cash I earn from using Upside to help pay for a vacation later this year.
Download the free Upside app now to earn cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code OWN to get an extra 25 cents per gallon on your first tank. You can cash out anytime right to your bank, PayPal, or a gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code OWN for a 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code OWN for a 25 cents per gallon bonus.
And that's Viewpoints for this week. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram to learn more about upcoming shows and find a library of past programs on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Spotify. Plus, you'll always find previous segments and more information about our guests at viewpointsradio.org. Join us again next week for another edition of Viewpoints.
This is the story of the one. As a safety manager at a manufacturing plant, he does everything he can to keep his coworkers safe. From finding ways to reduce risks to keeping safety supplies in stock. And for that, he relies on Grainger. Grainger offers a broad range of quality products and next-day delivery, so he can always play it safe. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Northwoods Community Credit Union, serving northern Wisconsin communities since 1953. Hi, I'm Sally. Starting from the basement of Lawrence Draxler's home to a commercial building on Highway 13 in Park Falls and Main Street in Ashland, today our longevity is member-owned, driven, backed by an experienced financial team, a strong board, and volunteer groups who put the members and community first. How far we have come. You can still write a check, walk in and make a deposit, get a loan, withdraw money, save money, or you can utilize our advanced services by using remote deposit, mobile, and online banking, online bill pay, and also apply for a loan online, all in your PJs at your own convenience. Northwoods Community Credit Union, membership required, federally insured by NCUA.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Any patchy fog out there giving way to a mostly sunny sky, and we'll crank up the heat this afternoon with highs in the upper 80s to lower 90s. Our heat index, though, likely to be in the mid-90s. A southwest breeze will be on the gusty side. Storms tonight, currently 62 degrees.
You're listening to Radio Health Journal, the trusted news source for medicine, science, and technology. I'm Elizabeth Westfield.
I'm Mayan Vosta-Betancourt.
And I'm Greg Johnson. This week, the 150-year debate that's finally being put to rest.
How your genes matter, whether they matter, depends on the environment you're in. So you really can't separate out nature and nurture. They're two sides of the same coin.
But first, is animal testing still the best option we have in science?
These animals are used. These are painful and deadly experiments. And then we're really crossing our fingers and hoping that it's going to translate.
All that and more this week on Radio Health Journal.
Do Crohn's disease or ulcerative colitis symptoms keep coming back? Tremfya, guselkumab, may help, with rapid remission achieved at 12 weeks and lasting clinical remission at 1 year. Some even saw visible improvement of their intestinal lining at 12 weeks and 1 year. Tremfya is a prescription medicine used to treat adults with moderately to severely active Crohn's disease and adults with moderately to severely active ulcerative colitis. Serious allergic reactions and increased risk of infections and liver problems may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection, flu-like symptoms, or if you need a vaccine. Healing is possible with Tremfya. Approximately 3 out of 10 patients were in endoscopic remission at 1 year, based on areas visualized on colonoscopy, which may not represent the deeper bowel layer or entire GI tract. Individual results may vary. Ask your doctor about Tremfya today. Call 1-800-526-7736 to learn more or visit TremfyaRadio.com.
The FDA has been in the news a lot this year, but one headline you may have missed is about to cause a big shakeup to the pharmaceutical industry and consumers alike. In April, the agency announced its historic move to replace animal testing in the development of certain medications. Animal testing has long been a requirement for new drugs to show a product's safety and efficacy before using it on humans.
This includes all sorts of toxicity studies, looking at what happens in the liver, looking at what happens on the skin. For some of the shorter dose toxicity studies, we're talking about acute toxicities. Animals are used in new drugs. It's been dogs, monkeys, mice, and rats are used most often, but you also have rabbits and you have pigs, guinea pigs, and other animals, forcing them to inhale chemicals and seeing what happens to them and killing them. I think people have a bit of maybe a fairy tale idea about it because they're being misled, because the truth is so ugly.
That's Elizabeth Baker, Director of Research Policy for the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine. There are several downsides to animal testing that Baker identifies. The first being that animals simply aren't a good stand-in for humans.
What has happened for a long time is these animals are used. They go through all sorts of horrible things. These are painful and deadly experiments. And then we're really crossing our fingers and hoping that it's going to translate. But there are so many differences among species. So you have differences in biology and disease characteristics and how we metabolize drugs in our lifespan. And those differences really lead to these translational issues. One, I think, really striking statistic is that over 90% of drugs are going to fail in humans after they pass the animal studies.
According to the FDA's roadmap to reducing animal testing in preclinical safety studies, they've also been historically poor predictors of drug success for inflammatory diseases, cancer, and Alzheimer's disease. And on the opposite end, some drugs that are safe for humans, like aspirin, would have never passed animal testing. A second downside to this process is the cost. As you can imagine, this can be a very lengthy and expensive process for companies. A Deloitte report estimates that the average cost of bringing a new drug to market is just over $2 billion.
You have those costs of directly paying for the animal tests. You also have the cost of failure. So companies invest so much to get to the point where they are testing in humans in clinical trials and they're failing. And so as companies can use more predictive for humans methods earlier in that process, they can weed out more quickly which products are going to fail when they move into humans. And then they can also make better decisions about which products to move forward that are going to be safer for people, that are more likely to work in humans.
It's no surprise that another issue with animal testing is the ethical implications that come with many of these studies.
Dogs, just like the dogs that we have in our homes and we love, they're no different than those dogs. They are used in unthinkable ways. They have a gavage, which is essentially a tube that goes down their throat, pumps their stomach full of chemicals. And these tests will continue until half the animals die. It's truly terrible.
One final issue that Baker notes with the industry's continued use of animal testing is that it's failed to evolve in a meaningful way. As every other industry has reshaped the public's view of products from cars to cereal, Baker says the FDA's testing requirements continue to be stuck in the past.
When it comes to the tests that companies are using in regulatory decision making and that the FDA is assessing to make its decisions about what drugs should be approved, same tests from the 1950s. So it's really shocking that the process has boxed out innovation so much. But even despite that, there has been a lot of innovation in the methods that exist. They're just not at all used to their potential. And so this type of strong leadership from the agency saying, we're going to phase this out, we're going to do things differently, is really welcome because there are these methods that exist now. And then, of course, there's many more that are going to be developed now that the agency has signaled it's ready for more innovation.
The FDA's plan to phase out animal testing leans heavily on the expectation that the industry will replace it with artificial intelligence and human-based lab models.
There are replacements for those that exist that don't use animals at all that are actually better science. These are tissue-based models where you essentially take a human skin cell and those can be grown into reconstructed human tissues and you can just test directly on those tissues as well. So that's just one example of a replacement of one of the typical animal tests.
Using human-based models means that all of the tests will inherently be directly relevant to humans, allowing scientists to avoid those translational issues that occur when using animals. Another emerging technology is called organ chips, which offer a more accurate way to predict drug behavior.
Organ chips, I think one way to think of them is they're essentially platforms where human cells are seated and they are engineered to mimic the structure and the function of those human organs. And so the products can be tested right there on those chips. And then the chips can be linked together to form different systems within the body.
These lab-based tests are expected to revolutionize our research and development methods. But they're not the only exciting technology on the horizon. Scientists have created AI programs that can replace some forms of animal testing through mathematical predictions.
We used to require an animal test for this purpose. Well, we've been able to do the mathematical simulations, and we have realized we don't need to do a test. So a waiver would be one thing that it can help with, but the other would be using machine learning and AI to analyze the structures of drugs and to link it to known clinical outcomes, and then also to predict those toxicities. So the things we talked about, like giving the force feeding animals these huge amounts of chemicals and then killing them to see how it affected their liver or their heart. The idea is that AI would be able to predict these things in humans so you can leave the animals out of it altogether.
Some of these models are already up and running in labs today. But while there seems to be overall support for this move by the FDA across industries, one main pushback to getting rid of animal testing is the idea that we'll no longer get a whole system view. Animal models allow us to see how a therapy will affect multiple systems throughout the body. However, Baker argues that we have years of data to show just how unreliable these results can be, which means that even though it offers a whole system view, that doesn't mean we can get any real conclusions from it. Additionally, researchers can use some of the human-based models together to create a similar, more accurate picture.
The organ chips that I mentioned, where they can be connected to form the body systems, these are called microphysiological systems. And the goal is to be able to pick up these things that would happen in a system. But also when you're adding in the complex biological modeling of human systems, that is the other way that we're going to address it, with information that is actually relevant to humans. So I understand the concern, and I think we're going to get there with these methods because of the human relevance. That is the focus of where things are going.
That's not to say that this will be an easy transition. Not only have countless funds been invested into building infrastructure for animal research, but there are entire industries of people who have trained for and work with these methods every day.
They have a lot of confidence in them because they've been using them for years. Maybe they don't know how to utilize all of these human-based approaches. So there's definitely a training component to that. You have policies that in the past have required or favored animal tests. And so you have your regulatory affairs folks within companies who are used to seeing a package of information that they know the FDA is going to accept. You have the reviewers within the agency who are looking for certain things to be included. And so all of those things are going to need to be addressed, but they are being addressed in the plan. So I think what's so great about what has happened at the FDA is that the FDA is saying, we have a goal and we have a plan, and the plan is comprehensive. So the plan gets into all of those things. It addresses the need to change the policies. It addresses the need for culture change and is really taking that on. It importantly encourages companies to right now begin. A lot of companies are using these methods, but they're not submitting the information to the agency. They're asking for them to start doing that now.
Currently, the FDA's announcement states that these actions will be taken for the development of monoclonal antibody therapies and other drugs. It's not specified what the other drugs will be, but monoclonal antibody therapies are used as targeted drug treatments for cancer, autoimmune diseases, and infectious diseases.
I think the way to think about this is the intention is a phase out of all animal testing for drugs, but they're starting with monoclonal antibodies as just the type of drug that's a case study to get things going that then will be applied to other drug classes. I think what we have seen in the last several years in terms of the modern innovative approaches are all focusing on human biology. And the writing for toxicology testing, the writing is on the wall. What has happened in toxicology has been so exciting to see all this innovation. And now it is branching out. Those successes are affecting other areas of research and testing as well. So I believe we will see a future that is animal free.
The Pharmaceutical Research and Manufacturers of America is a trade group that represents the nation's leading biopharmaceutical research companies. Though they declined an interview for this segment, they told our producer, quote, "We are pleased to see this initial announcement of FDA's plans to phase out certain animal testing and are looking forward to more details to understand how this might further expedite drug development," unquote. You can find more information about Elizabeth Baker and all of our guests on our website, radiohealthjournal.org. For more behind the scenes, follow Radio Health Journal on Facebook, Instagram, and X. Our writer-producer is Kristen Farah. Our executive producer is Amira Zaveri. I'm Elizabeth Westfield.
Coming up, how your genes influence the people around you, when Radio Health Journal returns.
Macy's has summer deals so big, it's like Black Friday in July. Come in for unbeatable summer savings, like dazzling fine jewelry, now 40 to 75% off, and airy linen blazers from Tommy Hilfiger and more for over half off. Plus, get three-piece floral print comforter sets for just $21.99. These deals are too big to wait for November, so hurry in. Black Friday in July and Sunday at Macy's. Savings off already reduced prices. Exclusions apply.
Let's bring the nail gun over here.
Jose stands tall atop his sustainable flooring company.
Totally. It's renewable and moisture resistant, but we have several green options too. Or we got some beautiful reclaimed oak.
But floored by his success, he needs to hire more installers.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. When you sponsor a job on Indeed, it's easier for talented candidates to find it, which makes it easier for you to hire them. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
There are countless books and podcasts for new parents to help them figure out what their parenting style will be. Though it's different for each family, the decision on how to raise your children is one that affects the rest of their lives. But what if I told you that how you parent isn't necessarily up to you? Last week, Dalton Conley, author of The Social Genome, explained how our genes can predict life outcomes based on genetic scores called the Polygenic Index, or PGI. What he realized through his research is that our genes can also influence others, which he had a front row seat to while parenting his three children.
Parents like to think that socialization is a one-way street from the parent to the children, but we found that actually what kind of genetic profile your child gets by random chance from the two parents really affects how you parent them.
Conley is the Harry Putnam University Professor of Sociology at Princeton University. He says that kids can condition their parents to cultivate certain needs through how they respond to various situations. Children in the top percentile for educational success may react more positively to mentally stimulating activities. And so to keep them happy, the parents will subconsciously foster that development.
So the kid with the higher polygenic index, we're going to end up reading more to and engaging in more in play and like board games and toys with them. They're going to basically extract more nurture from us. So it was really humbling after I have three kids to realize that, you know, I think I'm in control about how I'm raising them, but actually they're, to a large extent, their genes are driving how our interactions occur and how I parent.
Interestingly, it is possible for parents to make sure that their kids have a higher PGI for certain outcomes, like education.
So, for example, already there are some fertility clinics that offer parents doing IVF a chance to pick which embryo they want to implant based on the polygenic score. So that parents might want to maximize the polygenic score for cognitive ability, or another set of parents might want to minimize the risk for heart disease. And there are going to be trade-offs that each set of parents are going to make. These scores are so noisy right now, and the amount of embryos we generally get from IVF cycles are so limited that I don't know if there's a lot of benefit to doing that from parents' point of view, but there's definitely kids out there that are being polygenically selected babies, you know, more than there are genetically modified babies.
However, there's a huge caveat to this system. PGIs only work within groups. The same scores for one group won't mean the same if they're applied to a different community.
In fact, currently the scores we have are only valid for people of exclusively European descent, like what we would call white Americans, because we have the biggest samples across the world for European people. And so we have a lot of information for Europeans, and the scores predict well for Europeans. But even if you take something like the height score and try to predict the heights in African populations, for example, based on the scores we have, it just says it predicts that literally almost every person of African descent in the world would be shorter than every person in the world of who is of European descent, which we know is just not right. They just don't predict across groups.
To further explain this, there's an idea that Connolly calls the chopstick example. Imagine you're running a genetic study on the ability to use chopsticks, and your sample size consisted of people from all over the world. Your research would show that people who are better with chopsticks tend to have more C base pairs in one specific area of the genome, which must mean that chopstick use is determined by this one factor, right?
So it would appear that, oh, wow, we found some gene for like finger dexterity or something like that. But then it turns out that that gene, that location in the genome, just happens to have more C's in Asian populations, in East Asians, Japanese, Koreans, Chinese, for example. And we know that culturally, those societies use chopsticks. They're good at using chopsticks because they have a lot of cultural practice. It's nothing about their fingers or inherent to their bodies. But because they happen to have higher levels of the C at that location as opposed to the A, we would attribute it, oh, we found the gene that involves manual dexterity for chopsticks, when really all we discovered is a location that tags people from East Asia.
Which means that scientists need to be very careful about how they interpret this data. It's a glaring error in the field that's currently trying to be fixed. But despite the ongoing effort to collect more data from different populations, Conley says it'll be a long time before other groups are able to catch up. So as those communities build their own databases, people of European descent have an important question to answer. Do you want to know your genetic fate or continue to build your life ignorant of your PGI scores? Expectations can have a major impact on your personal drive and desires.
You could get a score that means that suggests that you should be like an awesome athlete. You have two copies of the fast twitch muscle gene, the sprinter's gene, and you have great endurance. And, you know, you're a couch potato and you're all of a sudden like, wow, actually, I might have some ability at this. I'm going to get off my butt and start working out.
But this influence works both ways.
you might get a low score for educational attainment or cognitive ability. And even though these are so noisy that you could literally still be a genius with the low score, you take that to heart and you interpret it as like not a death sentence, but, you know, a fait accompli. And then you just give up on sort of self-improvement and education. That's the psychology of different people. Like, I personally would want to know my score for dementia. My father died of Alzheimer's. I want to know, did I inherit the risk? You know, my sister does not want to know.
But at the end of the day, ignoring your scores doesn't make them disappear. We're still being influenced by our genes every second of the day. And as Conley pointed out, it's how these genes interact with our environment that creates the magic of who we are as individuals, which turns the nature versus nurture debate completely on its head.
It's the wrong debate. Much of our genes' effects go through the kind of responses we get in the environment. The, you know, kid with a high polygenic score for education gets that high education because he evokes a response from his parents and from his teachers that gives him more pedagogical instruction and more encouragement. So genes work through the environment. And second, the environment is partly the genes of other people one degree removed, meaning like the social genetic effects I was talking about. Your spouse's genes affect you. That's part of your environment, but it's her genes or his genes. So that's number two. And then number three, going back to the example of obesity or smoking, how your genes matter, whether they matter, depends on the environment you're in. So you really can't separate out nature and nurture. They're two sides of the same coin.
Conley's book, The Social Genome, is available now wherever books are sold. You can find more information about Dalton Conley and all of our guests on our website, radiohealthjournal.org. For more behind the scenes, follow Radio Health Journal on Facebook, Instagram, and X. Our writer-producer is Kristen Farah. Our production manager is Jason Dickey. I'm Greg Johnson.
Radio Health Journal returns in just a moment.
Febreze.
It's a classic odor tale. You fried fish for dinner, cleaned up, but the smell is still in the house. And the neighbors are coming over for game night. They're on their way. And then you spray Febreze Air Mist. Febreze Air starts working instantly to fight even your toughest odors, so you go from fish to fresh like that. Now all you have to worry about is Pam cheating at charades.
Breathe happy Febreze, la 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 la.
When you bundle renters and auto with Progressive, you can save while protecting your most valuable possessions, like your really expensive limited edition sneakers and your new suit for your cousin's wedding. Except you never actually bought the suit because you can't stop buying sneakers. So you show up to the wedding looking like you're going grocery shopping. But hey, at least your sneakers will look good in the pictures. Until you're cropped out of every last one of them. So go ahead and get Progressive, so you can save while protecting the things that matter to you. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates and other insurers. Not available in all states or situations.
All right, Takis fans. Wendy's knows you love your Takis Fuego chips. So we thought, why not make a Takis Fuego meal with a Takis Fuego chicken sandwich with spicy chicken topped with crushed Takis Fuego chips and creamy corn spread. Plus, it comes with Fuego fries inspired by Takis and a bag of Takis Fuego chips. If we add any more heat, we might start an actual... I told him this would happen. For an intense new take on Takis chips, gotta be Wendy's.
Limited time only. Participating U.S. Wendy's includes 1 ounce Takis Fuego chips while supplies last. Takis and Fuego trademarks are used under license.
Our daughter Jessie loves playing detective.
A clue.
But since we discovered she has sensitive skin, we've been playing detective too.
We thought the problem was our puppy.
But it was actually our old detergent.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So we switched to Tide Free and Gentle. Tide Free and Gentle provides an excellent Tide clean, and it doesn't leave behind irritating residues like dyes or perfumes, so it's gentle on your skin.
Case closed.
If it's got to be clean, it's got to be Tide Free and Gentle.
Medical notes this week. Researchers have discovered a new cause of infertility. A study in the journal Environmental International has found that air pollution can negatively affect embryo development in IVF cycles. The issues can come from both maternal and paternal exposure to outdoor air pollution, specifically exposure to organic carbon, which is emitted from cars and wildfires, negatively impacts fertilization, survival, and embryo quality. Not all of us grow from adversity. Severe challenges, like abuse or poverty, can have significant negative impacts on the brain of teenagers. Researchers have found that these experiences can cause delayed development in certain areas of the brain that's linked to a higher risk of substance abuse and mental health disorders. The studies are published in the journals Development and Psychopathology and Biological Psychiatry, Cognitive Neuroscience, and Neuroimaging. Will the ocean be our newest water source? A natural chemical in seawater called boron becomes toxic in drinking water when it's run through conventional filters that remove salt. Thankfully, a new technology has been shown to efficiently remove boron. The device can cut costs by up to 15%, saving about $7 billion a year. Researchers hope this will make seawater a more accessible source of drinking water. The work is published in the journal Nature Water. And finally, why you should embrace PDA. Psychologists say that affectionate touch helps us maintain intimacy and offer support in relationships. For long-distance relationships, describing how you wish you could touch or blowing kisses on FaceTime can help couples manage the separation. And that's Medical Notes this week. I'm Mayan Vastabetancourt.
Oh, no.
Ah, that's the sound of someone who's misplaced...
my debit card.
Their debit card.
Where did I leave that thing?
Not at the gas pump, or the checkout counter, or the roof of your car. Now, if he has the Chase mobile app, he can use Card Lock.
Wait, I could just lock my card.
Yep, just a few tippy taps on his phone, and... that sound? That's peace of mind from Chase.
Chase mobile app is available for select mobile devices. Message and data rates may apply. JPMorgan Chase Bank N.A., member FDIC.
If Old Spice Deep Sea Super Hydration Body Wash were music, what would it sound like? Start with the deep sounds of Old Spice's ocean waves and kelp. Layer on the smooth, renewing moisture. You wouldn't hear any parabens or phthalates because Old Spice Deep Sea hasn't got any. But you would hear that vitamin B3 for healthier-looking skin. So while your regular body wash sounds like this... Old Spice sounds like this. Sounds like it smells amazing.
Thank you for joining us this week and every week as we break down the science stories you need to know. You can find all of our past segments and guests on our website, radiohealthjournal.org, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and X for daily content. And tune in next week for another edition of Radio Health Journal.
We'll bring the music, news, and information. You bring the peanuts and chocolate. This is Trail Mix 103.1.
listening to 103.1 FM and 980 AM WPFP Park Falls. This is Trail Mix 103.1.
Time I think of you, I always catch my breath, and I'm still standing here.